I want you to declare with me, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
And my spirit does perceive.
And my spirit does perceive.
What you're speaking. Through your word.
To me.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. St. John chapter 14, not the letters of John. Now, when God begins to, let's say, push his buttons, you're not always going to find it easy or comfortable. Amen. But, like you've heard several people say this morning, that, God does this for so-and-so, but does he really love me? And I believe that St. John was probably, let's say, questioning the Lord on multiples of levels.
I did that when she was speaking her words.
Yeah.
I didn't voice it, but inside I was saying, Lord, I can do this too.
Amen.
Because that thing that's been on my head for, like her, since childhood, would like to tell me, no, you can't. And I've been doing as I can. So when you were speaking out, inside myself, I said, oh, yes, I can.
Uh-huh. She said, yes. And you have a helper.
Amen.
You have a counselor.
Amen.
You have an intercessor. Mm-hmm. You have an advocate or an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go to verse 26 and consider that without the Holy Spirit, you're going to be missing a counselor, you're going to be missing a helper, you're going to be missing an intercessor, you're going to be missing an attorney or an advocate, you're going to be missing a strengthener, you're going to be missing a standby. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. Deborah, is that correct? He will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall. That verse, I believe, has been declared probably more by Gail than anyone else. He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. He pulls you back on track. But what if you don't have the Holy Spirit? How about if you don't have that wonderful gift of tongues that so many have? Well, it's like trying to fly with one wing. An eagle needs both wings. And without the Holy Spirit, you're going to find that it's going to be difficult. 41 years ago, in February, that's when the Holy Spirit came into me. And I began to speak in other tongues. Am I saying you need to do that? I'm saying you better ask and you better knock until he gives you everything that he's planned for you. And if you fall short and you don't do that, your homework isn't complete. So that's the beginning of my walk with the Holy Spirit. And I can truthfully say, if it wasn't for the helper, the counselor, the intercessor, the attorney strengthening and standing by me, whom the Father did send when I wasn't satisfied with where I was in the religious realm. And am I judging people that are in the religious? No, that's not my problem. That's their problem. They can live there for as long as they want, and only the Holy Ghost will be able to adjust them as he sees fit, because he works on every single one of us when we permit him. We are the ones that can say yes. We are the ones that can say, I don't want it, I don't need it. Oh, I'm doing fine by myself. And you can continue that for as long as you live. The only thing is, don't be jealous of the other one who's having a party with God and celebrating his peace, and you're still shattered. So why are you shattered? Because there's a missing piece. It's called the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, etc., etc. But I want to take you into a place where when the Holy Spirit began his work in me, my soul was now visible to me. It started a war inside of me. My spirit man was of one opinion, and I would find my mind, my will, my emotions, my body. I mean, they went in every direction but what I wanted on the inside of my spirit. So the war was declared without me even realizing it. But this week, I got angry. I got super angry. And I saw how my soul pressured my body to do something. And I said, whoa. The buck stops right here. Yeah, Mr. Truman. The buck stops right here. And I found my mouth declaring, I am breaking war and declaring war on my spirit to control my soul. My soul is going to have to submit whether I like it or not, and the war is not going to be lightweight. My spirit has to make war against my soul. So I'm declaring war. Well, I remember hearing not too long ago on one of the history channels that when we declared war on Japan and Pearl Harbor, Hitler declared war against us and we declared war against them, and the Italians did the same, and it went all around. Now it became World War II. Well, I declared war on my soul and I said, I am the real person here. The spirit within me is the real person. The real me is full of the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, and the standby, and the Holy Spirit, whom my Father released to me. He is the real me. He is developing the real me and making me into what I've been called to be. Now, is my body going to live forever?
No. My body isn't.
No?
No. It will be resurrected.
I like hers.
Okay.
Your body, according to Genesis 6:3, has been given 120 years to get your act together.
Yes. And I'm claiming that.
Okay? So you take it because that's his promise. Yep. But when you get your act together, that means the body and the spirit of death has been overruled. So it's possible for you to go into the heavens, body, soul, and spirit, okay, all together, because the resurrection power that's about to break forth into the body of Christ will bring people into very, very powerful transformation. And if you read that 100-year prophecy from Bob Jones, in about another 30 years or so, or another 12 or 15 years from the 2030s, there will be people that will be outliving where they've ever lived before. So they're going to go into 130, 150. And with vitality.
Yes.
Think about it. If Moses, under the old covenant, where they had bulls and sheep as an offering to God to take care of sin, was able to say that he wasn't weak in any fashion, way, or form at 120, and you can back it up to Abraham. Abraham remarried when he was about 130 or so.
Don't have hope.
Yeah, there's hope.
There's hope.
There's hope. He married Keturah, and you say, well, gee, and a whole man of 130, he had four more kids? Four or five. So, you know, why limit yourself with this skinny little brain idea that you have about your future? Why declare out of your mouth that you're going to die, oh, it says 70 or 80 years if you're strong. And you might reach 100 if you're really strong. I'm saying if you're full of the helper, if you're full of the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, he not might send, he did send, yes?
Yes.
And it's to represent him and act on his behalf through us. He's wanting us to be very powerful indeed. And these mindsets that we've lived in are the religious mindsets. Oh, if you live 70 or 80 years, you are fortunate. Oh, I'm so happy you made it to 80. Well, I'm glad you did, but there's so much more available. And you can have what you speak.
Amen.
Oh, really? You've had a lesson about this girl here. Stretching. Going beyond her emotions. Going beyond her feelings. You heard the same thing through Gail. You heard the same thing through Linda. And Joe, you're no exception. And every time you declare what God's prepared for you, you know some people are going to slap you back. Yes?
Yes.
All right. Why? Why do they slap us back?
Because they don't understand.
They don't want to.
Yes, that's right. They don't want to.
Put them on the spot.
They are now in a box that you have put them in because you're exposing the lie they have believed and confessed. Mm-hmm. Believed and confessed. Your confession will either give you life or death.
We've been doing that in the house now for weeks and weeks and weeks.
All right.
Can you guess what's coming out?
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
No. No. Okay, I'm going to hit you harder now. And I promise this is going to hurt. Because it's going to expose your unbelief. I want you to read with me verse 21. Well, maybe we'll back it up to verse 20. Because it'll kind of open it up for you, I pray. At that time, when that day comes, that day is the day of the Lord. You will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now you know the song we sang when we were declaring. Okay? The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. What is his command? Love one another as I have
loved you.
Yeah. So he commands you to love. And I too will love him. This part is going to take faith. And I too will love him. And will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Are you ready for that prayer? Do you want Jesus to show up in your bedroom one morning?
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Good. Then this promise will let that manifest if you don't listen to your skinny brain. Why am I accusing you of having a skinny brain? Everyone who doesn't believe God's word is restricting your ability of your soul. Your soul will be transformed by your spirit man as the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, and the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send and has sent in his name to represent him. So there are things that he's prepared in us to go higher and deeper in God than we've ever gone before. And that's why when earlier we had our board meeting this morning, I told the girls about being in the Pioneer Valley. Well, a pioneer does something that hasn't been done before. The House of Prayer is a pioneer church. We're doing things that have never done before. Having the Lord reveal, manifest, making himself visible and clearly seen is not a scary prayer. And when you decide that you mean business with him, he'll listen to you. Back in the middle 80s, late 80s, I should say, I had a situation where I had a crisis of faith. I was confronted with spiritual truths that didn't make sense to my religious brain or my religious soul. And my spirit was limited, but I got angry. And I said to the Lord, there's this individual that's beginning to shake my tree with words like the one I've just given you. Because this man was teaching about having an ability to see Jesus on a regular basis. And my brain was just not there. It's just not acceptable. And that we could live and be sons and daughters of God. Well, that was again not religious. It was Holy Ghost. So I pushed the Lord into a corner. And I said to him, I'm going back to listen to this particular individual one more time. And unless you give me solid gold proof that this is of you and that it's for me, I'll never go back and I'll never listen to another one of this garbage, because it was just so out of the box. So I went with two friends. There was three seats in the front row, and I sat down, and God opened my eyes, and I saw, like you see that table in front of you, St. Paul. It was no further than where I am right now. And St. Paul was preaching, and the preacher was next to him, but he disappeared. Only St. Paul was there, and in the back, probably maybe a few feet further than where Deborah is sitting, was a tall figure. And I could see him. I didn't focus on him. I was so mesmerized by St. Paul that was in front of me. Now, how did you know it was St. Paul? I knew it in my inner man. My spirit knew. There was no introduction. There was no need of an introduction. I knew that I knew that I knew. And the man that was in the back, I several times glanced up. And this lasted for over an hour and a half. It was not something that happened in a snap. So now, the next day, I recovered. I apologized to the Lord for being angry the days before. And I said, Lord, why did you show me St. Paul? And I'm driving into my office. I can tell you, it's like I'm still there in my car. And I come to the stop sign just before Springfield Street. And I said, I never asked to see St. Paul. I really asked to see you. And in my inner man, I heard I was there. I never made it across the street. I couldn't move my car. I began to sob openly. Good thing there was a stop sign there, because I don't know how long I stayed there to recover my emotions to be able to drive across the street and go park the car and then get out. That took a long time. The Lord said I was there, and I knew he was the tall man in the back. Why? I questioned every aspect of that intense vision. And he said, this is your solid gold request. I answered your prayer, now move forward.
Why do you think he showed you St. Paul and not just himself?
Because the man who was bringing the message was really the good news from Paul.
Okay.
And he was showing me that Paul was there and the preacher was speaking the words, mm-hmm. and it was the spirit of Paul literally preaching through Royal. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Why did he make that one appear? Because I needed to understand that it was the Pauline letters that I need to be focused on. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm pressuring you to look at the word for yourself. It's got to be your revelation. It can't be, you know, somebody else that experiences something. Oh, yes, it'll nudge you. But you can't take that to the bank. I can take what I shared with you just now, and it's kept me alive. It kept me going. Just close your eyes for a moment, because I'm getting something in, and I don't want to be flowing in the wrong direction. Let's back it up to verse 12. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly, the word steadfastly is important because you have to be tenacious, pushy, and on target, believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. Are you able to even conceive the idea that what Jesus did, you're able to do? Because Jesus says you will be able to. He didn't say you might. You will be able to do it. How many people did he pull out of the grave? How many funerals did he screw up? What do you think of the undertaker that has prepared himself to get a nice roughly $10,000-$12,000, and you go into the morgue and you bring that body back to life? Ooh. What have you just done to your local undertaker?
Made an enemy.
Yeah, I just robbed that undertaker of $12,000. How's he going to pay his bills?
Oh, well.
Really? Oh, well, yeah. Now you go into the nursing home and you empty it out and you set the captives free. How many people are out of a job? How many insurance companies are going to say, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing to us? See, that's the future of the church. The church alive in Christ. Not the church full of religion. Okay. Yesterday, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my mouth. Not unusual. But there were levels. And I can say that the Holy Ghost had a party. He used my mouth. He used my spirit to open up something to a person that I had ministered to a few times before, but it never went to that degree. And when the Holy Spirit got done, I know that this individual was changed. His personality was restored. And some damage that was done to him was canceled. Why? Because I chose to obey and not bow to the fear. The fear of being, let's say, pointed at, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to take you back now. Verse 13. I will do, I myself will grant whatever you may ask in my name, presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in, through the Son. Yes? I will grant, will do for you whatever you shall ask in my name or in my nature, presenting all that I am. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. Continue to love one another. But the first person you need to love is?
Yourself.
Yourself. And if you need to forgive yourself, you need to do that now. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you for a few days, a few weeks. The word says forever. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Did you hear that? The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. They cannot welcome him. They take to its heart, because it does not see him, nor know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly. And here's the next part. And will be in you. The Holy Spirit lives within you. Because we're not looking for Pentecost anymore. Pentecost has already happened. I will not leave you orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, or helpless. I will come back to you just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourself that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show myself, reveal myself, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Kind of ironic that I would use a bookmark that I haven't used for a while, because I don't use this Bible that often. I have an Amplified at home that I use, but this is my brother, a little older than me, who was my best man the day I got married. He died in the 14th of April, 1991. He was 60 years old. He got sick and had x-rays done in January of 1990, and by April he was home with Jesus. Did he know the Lord for a long time? He knew the religious Lord, but my brother, who was full of the Holy Ghost, ministered to him approximately 3 minutes before he departed for the other side. My brother and my sister-in-law went into the room where he was dying. His children and his wife had just walked away and walked out. And they had roughly 10 minutes with him. And he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and prayed in other tongues. In those moments with my brother and his wife, they walked out of the room. His wife walked back in, and he was gone. Can God deliver at the last minute?
Yes.
Is it impossible for God to do what you and I can't do? He's been doing it all along. Sing with me. He has done great things for me. He has done great things for me. He has done great things for me. Bless his holy name. Do it again. He has done great things for me. He has done great things for me. He has done great things for me. Bless his holy name. He has done great things in me. 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 Bless his holy name. He has done great things through me.
Through me.
He has done great things through me. He has done great things through me. Bless his holy name. On the day before he died, our Savior took bread, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given up for you." A long time it took for me to understand that he gave up his body. Why did he give up his body? Because his body was the living sacrifice that God needed in order to correct the mistake that happened in the garden. The rejection that the Father received was so intense and so great, and the insult from Adam, not Eve, Adam. It says Eve was deceived. It doesn't say Adam was deceived. Adam failed. I believe the relationship between Adam and Eve was so great that it started to cancel the anointing that Adam had with the Father. You also have to remember that Adam's body was an eternal body. It had the potential to live forever. He canceled that by his choice to follow Satan. He canceled it when he chose to receive what his wife gave to him. He wasn't able to say, "Sorry, woman, it's not going to happen." He wasn't able, do you hear me? Or chose. He had the ability to name every single one of God's creation. So he wasn't a dummy, and he wasn't half a man. He was a real man, a spirit-led man. And when Jesus came, he's called the second Adam. So if you want a picture of the real Adam, you look at Jesus. All of the things that were in Jesus were the things that he was bringing back to humanity. So would you lift your hands to these gifts and say, he gave up his body.
He gave up his body.
He used bread to give us connections.
He used bread to give us connections.
He used the cup of wine.
He used the cup of wine.
To remind us.
To remind us.
That he would shed his blood.
That he would shed his blood.
On that cross.
On that cross.
To take my place.
To take my place.
He would allow himself to be drained.
He will allow himself to be drained.
Of the sustenance of life.
Of the sustenance of life.
Which is the blood.
Which is the blood.
Flowing through my veins.
Flowing through my veins.
If it flows completely out.
If it flows completely out.
This body will be a temple.
This body will be a temple.
Totally empty.
Totally empty.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you poured your blood.
That you poured your blood.
On the cross.
On the cross.
For me.
For me.
To wash away my sin.
To wash away my sin.
You took my place that day.
Took my place that day.
And I'm grateful.
And I'm grateful.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
To become a future.
To become a future.
Of grace to me.
Of grace to me.
A counselor.
A counselor.
A comforter.
A comforter.
A general attorney.
A general attorney.
And so much more.
And so much more.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I take this for our president and for all those in the political arena, both sides, and all of those independents. Father, bring forth your plan out of all the people that lead us in this country, and that Jesus will continue to be lifted up as the body of Billy Graham was laid in that ground, that the gift that was in him will multiply to all of us.
Yes. Amen.
Do I get an amen?
Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray. I take this for the women who sometimes get blamed for the failure in the garden because the men failed. But that doesn't mean we will continue to be failures. We, as men, sons of God, will continue to be an example of the future, because God's kingdom is spreading in the earth, and it's going to continue to give glory to our Father in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to take this for Bob and for those who are in challenging spaces, mentally, emotionally, physically, because now there was such a harmony with him on this week when I visited with him on Friday, and I just was blessed to be able to communicate. And not just him, but all those that are in that nursing home and all those that are incarcerated in all kinds of challenges, whether it be a jail or a hospital or a bedroom or a house or maybe a place under a bridge somewhere where there was no hope for their future. I take this for the broken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come, the table is open.
You know, he was just showing me that.
Come.
Jesus being the second Adam.
Yeah.
We, the bride of Christ, are the second Eve, no longer deceived.
Amen. We'll take that one to the bank. Receive for the women that are no longer deceived.
Amen.